A life in service, volcanic energy. Once, when Guru Maharaj had returned to Shridha Mayapur on Krishna Janmashtami, after completing a preaching tour with his senior godbrother, Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada saw him and immediately said, "It is very good you have come. Now please proceed to Mathura without delay. Brajmandal Parikrama is just around the corner. You should go there, meet with the local pandas and discuss with them about scouting locations for the camps and all the details related to providing the pilgrims with suitable arrangements for food, water and so on." Following Srila Prabhupada's instruction, Guru Maharaj prepared to leave for Mathura at once. At that time, Srila Prabhupada asked a devotee to prepare puri and sabji for Guru Maharaj. But when Guru Maharaj said, "There is no need, I can survive without it," Srila Prabhupada gave him his own leaded lota, a flask-like container, which was filled with sugar water and uncut lemons, and told him to prepare lemonade along the way. After Guru Maharaj had left for Mathura, Srila Prabhupada told a brahmachari, "Hayagriva Brahmachari is full of volcanic energy. He is always ready to perform any kind of service with the utmost enthusiasm. And no matter what the situation is, he always returns successful." Guru Maharaj once told me, during Srila Prabhupada's physical presence in this world, he mercifully made sure I was constantly busy. When I would return to Srila Prabhupada, after working hard to accomplish one task, he would immediately give me another task to perform. He did not have to ask anything about the first task, because he knew that I would not approach him unless that task had been completed. Although physically exhausted, I would experience unparalleled happiness to fulfill his order. I used to sometimes think that a time would come in my life when I would be able to live by a fixed schedule, so that I could peacefully chant my fixed number of rounds, chant my Gayatri mantras at the appropriate times, and carefully read and study Vaishnav literature, just as some of my godbrothers did. But when after Srila Prabhupada left this world, and I received plenty of time to do as I please, I lamented that I was no longer busily engaged in service in the way during my days with him. It was only after he externally disappeared from the vision of this world that I understood such laborious service is my very life. After realizing this, I always try to keep myself as busy as Srila Prabhupada kept me. Hearing this, I understood just how appropriate it was that Srila Prabhupada described Guru Maharaj as having volcanic energy. Recognizing the significance of an item given by Guru or a sadhu. Once, Guru Maharaj and Sri Srimad Bhakti Hidayavan Goswami Maharaj together engaged in the service of organizing a spiritual exhibition in Patna, Bihar. As a result of the cold weather there, Shilavan Goswami Maharaj's hand became so dry that it started to crack and bleed, and Guru Maharaj began to shiver intensely. Seeing their condition, Sri Sakhi Charan Babu, a wealthy Grastha disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who had funded the construction of the Yogpeeth temple, brought a sweater for each of them, but neither of them accepted it. When Srila Prabhupada arrived there after a few days, Sri Sakhi Charan Babu expressed to him the anxiety he felt upon the devotees refusing the sweaters he offered. Srila Prabhupada told him to bring those sweaters to him, and he then called for Guru Maharaj and Shilavan Goswami Maharaj. When they came before him, he gave the sweaters to them, which they readily accepted. I am not sure what Shilavan Goswami Maharaj did with his sweater, but Guru Maharaj, who never had the habit of wearing a sweater, kept it folded on his bed throughout the rest of his life. Guru Maharaj's sevak once asked him, "What is the need to always keep this sweater on your bed? You never wear it." Guru Maharaj replied, "A sadhu always keeps a lota, water pot, and a blanket with him. Therefore, I use the blanket when I feel very cold. I never wear a sweater. However, realizing the significance of an item given directly by Srila Prabhupada himself, I always keep this sweater nearby. It is my sincere desire that my head rest on this sweater at the time I leave this world. His sevak asks, when Sri Sakicharan Babu offered the same sweater to you, you did not accept it. But when Srila Prabhupada offered it to you, you accepted it without hesitation. What is the mysterious reason behind this? Guru Maharaj replied, had I accepted the sweater from Sri Sakicharan Babu, I would have wholeheartedly felt indebted to him. But since I received it from Srila Prabhupada, that sense of gratefulness is instead reposed to Srila Prabhupada alone. Anything that Srila Prabhupada gives us is nirguna, or free of materiality. Everything that we receive from him reminds us of him, and such remembrance is highly beneficial for obtaining our spiritual welfare. We would therefore accept things only from Srila Prabhupada and not others. The responsibility of serving Sri Guru is yours alone. The 1936 deity installation ceremony at Sri Gauriya Math in Sarbhog, Assam was scheduled to be performed under the auspices of Srila Prabhupada. At that time, Sri Srimad Bhakti Vigyan Ashram Goswami Maharaj, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, was the in charge of the Sarbhog Math. Guru Maharaj and his god brother, Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, arrived in Sarbhog 2 days prior to Srila Prabhupada's scheduled arrival. In order to oversee all the arrangements for the installation ceremony and festival, they were astonished to see that no preparations had been made for Srila Prabhupada's arrival or for the deity installation and its related festivities. When Guru Maharaj inquired from Srila Ashram Goswami Maharaj about the situation, Srila Ashram Goswami Maharaj replied, Srila Prabhupada gave complete responsibility to Sri Nimananda Prabhu, but he did nothing. Hearing this, Guru Maharaj discussed the issue with Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj and thereafter enthusiastically arranged everything with the help of his other assembled godbrothers. Srila Prabhupada arrived in Sarbhog with his associates on schedule, and all the festivities were beautifully accomplished in a highly organized fashion. After the ceremony, Srila Ashram Goswami Maharaj repeatedly requested Guru Maharaj to relate to Srila Prabhupada how Sri Nimananda Prabhu did not fulfill his responsibility, in hopes that Srila Prabhupada would correct Nimananda Prabhu by instructing him about the loss inherent in failing to perform a task given by Sri Guru, and also admonish him to be mindful in the future. Being unable to ignore his godbrother's repeated requests, Guru Maharaj mentioned the incident to Srila Prabhupada one day while he was fanning flies away from Srila Prabhupada. While Srila Prabhupada was strolling through a garden, Srila Prabhupada said, Eto chao keno, eto dukh pao keno. Why do you desire so much? Why do you suffer so much? Why do you expect so much from Nimananda Prabhu or anyone else? Why do you feel so greatly pained when these expectations are not fulfilled? The service of Sri Guru is entirely your responsibility, from Chava to or A to Z. If someone helps you in this service, then you should feel grateful. But if you fret over someone's refusal to help, then you will be at fault and not him. Srimati Radharani is Krishna's majordomo. She considers herself responsible for all services to Sri Krishna. If some sakhi helps her in even the slightest way by, for example, bringing water or grinding spices, she feels indebted to her. But if no one is present to help her render service to Sri Krishna, she does not complain or feel any animosity toward anyone, even in her mind. This instruction of Srila Prabhupada is highly beneficial for all sincere sadhakas who desire to attain their topmost spiritual welfare. Guru Maharaj would many a time be filled with transcendental emotions while narrating this incident. an object of others' faith and conviction. When Srila Prabhupada arrived in Sarbhog for the deity installation ceremony at the Gaudiya Math established there, he gave the entire responsibility of arranging the deity installation to Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Goswami Maharaj. According to Vaishnava regulations, Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj performed an abhishek and then decorated the deities with beautiful ornaments, cloths, garlands, and sandalwood paste. When Srila Prabhupada entered the deity room and saw the deities were fully decorated, he immediately walked out saying, "There is no need for me to be inside the deity room. Shivigra has already been installed. No seva remains to be done." Hearing Srila Prabhupada's words, Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj became remorseful and thought, "I have mistakenly performed everything. At the very least, I could have reserved the service of offering garlands to the deities for Srila Prabhupada. I have definitely committed an offense at his lotus feet." After a few days, Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj revealed the pain in his heart to Guru Maharaj and requested him to write a letter to Srila Prabhupada on his behalf that described his remorsefulness and his desire to seek forgiveness for his offense. Guru Maharaj agreed to write the letter to Srila Prabhupada and received this reply: "No activity performed by a surrendered soul is ever considered an offense. Although it is true he may sometimes commit a mistake, his master does not pay much heed to it. He simply corrects him. If Sridhar Maharaj is fully surrendered at heart, he need not worry about anything. If he is not surrendered, he should most certainly understand that although the activities performed by an unsurrendered person, such as deity worship, may externally appear to be seva, they are in fact always full of offenses." After reading Srila Prabhupada's reply, both Guru Maharaj and Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj could not suppress the tears that flowed from their eyes. They further discussed the gravity of Srila Prabhupada's mood and intentions and thereby regained their composure. The faith and conviction Guru Maharaj's godbrothers had for him was such that they would often request only him to express their anxieties to Srila Prabhupada. Upon receiving Srila Prabhupada's reply, Guru Maharaj would help them understand and imbibe the true meanings of Srila Prabhupada's deeply insightful words, the deep vision of great personalities. Once, Srila Sant Goswami Maharaj and my Guru Maharaj were staying in the Madras Gaudiya Math as brahmacharis. My Guru Maharaj was then known as Sri Hai Grip Brahmachari. Although they were brahmacharis and not sannyasis, they were accepted as experienced seniors because they sincerely followed Srila Prabhupada. During their stay, Sri Radha Raman Brahmachari noticed that a particular brahmachari refused to mix with the other residents of the mud and hardly spoke with anybody. He instead sought solitude wherever he could find it in order to focus on his reading and chanting. Sensing something suspicious about his activities, Sri Radha Raman Brahmachari approached Guru Maharaj and told him of his concerns. He said, "Prabhu, although this brahmachari is chanting and reading a great deal and avoiding gossip, I feel that something is wrong. Can you please investigate?" Guru Maharaj understood the legitimate reason for Sri Radha Raman Brahmachari's concern and afterwards called for the brahmachari and asked him, "I have heard that you do not associate with any other residents of the mutt. What to speak of joking with them or sitting with them to take prasad? Why is this?" The brahmachari replied, "I do not wish to become involved in gossip, and that is why I prefer to keep to myself." Guru Maharaj said, "I think it would be better for you to sit with them and develop relationships. Try to lead your life in a natural way, as the other residents of the mutt do. Even if you have to sometimes joke with them and engage in gossip, still it is not a problem. Why? Because there is something to learn in each and every activities of the devotees." Feeling utterly confused, the brahmachari replied, "Prabhu, although you are very senior to me, you are instructing me to do the opposite or what I've heard from other senior Vaishnavas. I do not want you to feel as if I am challenging you, but Sriman Mahaprabhu has said not to listen to or speak gossip. But you are asking me to indulge in material talks with brahmacharis if required. This is greatly puzzling. Guru Maharaj then explained himself. Listen properly. Presently, you are residing in this mirth only with your body and not with your mind. If you will not heed my words, then after some time your body will also go from here. You will surely return to your home. But if you follow what I have suggested, at least you will continue to stay here by body, and then gradually your mind will come to stay in the mirth as well. Therefore, be peaceful and please try to follow what I have told you. This instance shows that although Sri Radharavan Brahmachari was considerably young, he was Durdarshi, capable of seeing what will come in the future beyond the present circumstances. While ordinary persons hold an external conception of proper and improper conduct, the perception of those who are Durdarshi extends beyond outer appearances. Such person can see clearly what is deep inside the hearts of others, as well as what will become of them in the future. Both my Guru Maharaj and Sri Radharaman Brahmachari could ascertain that because this Brahmachari's mind was not fixed in being a servant of Sri Hari, Guru and the Vaishnavas, he would quickly tire of his rigorous sadhana and leave the mutt. Sometime later, that Brahmachari received a letter. But instead of having it sent to the mutt, he had the sender address it to a nearby Grastha family. Seeing that a letter had come for a resident of the mutt, that family explained the situation to Guru Maharaj and handed him the letter. Upon reading it, Guru Maharaj learned that the Brahmachari had previously sent a letter to his mother, informing her that he would soon return home and that she should therefore arrange both a job and a wife for him. The letter Guru Maharaj had received was the mother's reply, in which she accepted the responsibility and told him to return quickly. Shortly after the letter's arrival, the Brahmachari left the mutt. Although absolutely no indications of his mental unrest were visible when this Brahmachari was staying in the mutt, both Sri Radharaman Brahmachari and my Guru Maharaj understood the situation very clearly. Due to samskars he had received as a result of staying in the mutt, this Brahmachari later accepted the real truth, returned to the mutt around the age of 65, and, remembering the Durdarshita or foresightedness of Srila Sant Goswami Maharaj, eventually accepted sannyas from him. Srila Prabhupada always gave service the highest priority, and I wish to follow his ideal conduct from the core of my heart.